Hey, welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Awesome. Happy Mother's Day. Come on,
yes,
give a hand to our
happy
moms.
Happy Mother's Day.
So grateful to be with you today. And we want to welcome all of our campuses. We love you. Those watching us online today, we love you so much. We're so grateful for what God's doing in your life. And today is the third of a four-part series. What if I believed? We started with what if I believed God loved me? What if I believed that God wanted me well and healed today? What if I believe God wanted to bless my family? Next week, we'll conclude with what if I believe God wanted to bless my life, even in the material way, and we'll talk about that. But we're just so grateful that you came today, and happy Mother's Day, everybody. And so, Michelle,
yes,
I know there's some
happy
things.
Mother's Day, and we just want to just celebrate every mom here today, whether you're a mom of children or a spiritual mom, you are so important. And so would you stand right now? We just want to celebrate you. We celebrate moms here at Victory. Thank you.
Come on,
you.
Give them all a hand.
You know, it takes a lot to raise those children and the details involved and raise, you know, with running your house. Your husbands are so blessed. They have no idea what you do. Amen?
Yes.
So praise
Plus
God.
Plus, you have to raise your husbands sometimes,
that's true.
Too.
So, thank you. And You know what? I want to take a moment before we start, and I just want to, you know, acknowledge some people today, because even though this is a very a day of celebration for a lot of people, it's a really hard day. Because maybe your mom has passed away, or you've had a child that's passed away, or maybe you're dealing with infertility, or even, you know, maybe your mother was not an ideal mother, or your mother was not there. I just want you to know that, first of all, we care about you here at Victory, and secondly, that God sees you, and He loves you, and He sees the pain that maybe you're facing today, and He wants to be a part of that pain. He wants to help you. So let's just pray for all those people right now. Father, we just thank you for every person sitting here. And Lord, I thank you that if there's anyone struggling, Father, because of something that's happened, a circumstance in their life, Father God, that would make them feel a tremendous pain at this time, Lord, I ask you that you would just comfort them, that they would feel your peace and your presence on them today as they make their way through it. And I thank you, Lord, that you are the healer. And I just thank you for healing their hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, something when we were praying, Michelle said to me that was in her heart to do today. You know, we believe in a God that moves today.
Yes.
A God that heals today, both by the faith of the individual and by the wonderful gifts and of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of healings and working of miracles. And it kept coming up in Michelle's heart. She said, honey, I want to pray over the moms and families and dads as well that are dealing with infertility issues. And so at the end of today's service here at all of our campuses, here at Victory and all of our other campuses, the pastors will be down at front when we close, when we have our prayer partners. We'll be down to our right and to your left. And Michelle and I will be here at the Victory campus. And we want to pray for those families, whether you're here alone or whatever, we want to literally pray over you and believe God.
Yes, because God is a miracle working God. Yes. Amen. And through the years, we've seen so many people that have diagnosed over them medically that they could never have children. And God has supernaturally healed their bodies. And that's what we believe here at Victory, that God is a healer.
Yes.
You know, part of the covenant with Christ is that He said your womb would be blessed.
Yes.
And so we just believe that we're going to lay hands on you and stand with you for healing. And that next Mother's Day, there's going to be some of you that will be holding babies that maybe you thought was impossible.
Come on, man. Let's believe God with people.
We believe
the God of the impossible. Amen. Is nothing's impossible with Him. So let's just start with something light, babe. Let's just do the top 10 mom quotes. So let's just do our top 10. So why don't you just start with number one?
Okay. Well, number one is, I'll cut the grass with scissors before I get pregnant again.
I like this one. Being quarantined with a talkative child is like having an insane parrot super glued to your shoulder.
I can't believe I shared my body with a child that won't even share their M&Ms with me.
That's great.
It's like kids can just smell us relaxing. Isn't that the truth?
That is absolutely the truth. You hope those moments when your kids talk back will help them lead a company and not a gang in prison.
When your mom voice is so loud that even your neighbors brush their teeth and get dressed.
Do the next one too.
Some days I amaze myself. Other days I put my keys in the refrigerator. That's me. I've done that before.
Yeah, we have stories, but there's no time for that today. Bedtime is the leading cause of dehydration in children.
Go ahead.
Cleaning the house with a toddler is like trying to rake leaves during a tornado.
And the last one, I don't want to sleep like a baby. I want to sleep like my husband.
Come on, baby. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. So, Michelle, I have some, just want to
just table
basically,
up just a little
yeah,
bit more.
You bet,
thank you.
Bet, honey. Okay. Yep, I got more gut, baby. It just has to, you know, just got to have some breathing room. Anyway, aren't you glad when you get past the age and you ain't sucking anything in anymore? Anyway, happy Mother's Day. That probably wasn't good. I'm sorry, honey. I'll be good. So, you know,
I always say he shouldn't say everything that pops into his head. So, yeah.
At least not when you're sitting beside me. So, let's start with just something light. What? Give us an embarrassing mom moment in your life. Something that's happened that there are a bunch of them, but give us one that stands out.
Well,
to
if you felt like you failed as a mom, this will make you feel so much better because my son Ryan, he's our oldest. He's 28, and we have a daughter Sienna who's 25 and 26, and then Alexa is 23. But our son Ryan, he was in kindergarten. And it happened to be an in-service day for teachers, so there was no school. But somehow I did not get the memo, and so he went to afternoon kindergarten. And so I pulled up, and I noticed that there were not any cars anywhere around. You know, and back then you could just drop them off, and they walked in. And I thought, well, maybe I'm just running late. So I dropped him off at school, and he went in. And I went to Walmart, and I went shopping. And that was before cell phones, and so they couldn't get a hold of me. And I think, like, it was 2 hours
two
later.
2 hours. They got a hold of me. They called the church.
Yeah, and then he finally got a hold of me, and I had to go back and get him. And I had to do that walk of shame to the office. You know, with the office ladies, it always made you feel like you were going to go to the principal's office when you went in anyway. And I was, like, crying. I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm just a terrible mom. And the ladies, they never said, no, you're not. And so, he was happy as a lark. But anyway, I survived it. He survived it. He was our guinea pig. The first one always is. Amen.
Well, I thought it was a cheap babysitter, so it was a good move. But to get serious now, for everybody raising kids today, it's a different world than when we were raising ours. Our kids are literally being inundated and even trained by a culture that is utterly void of the heart of God, the wisdom of God, the plan of God, the purview of God of issues of the day. And so if you're raising kids today in this world, because these issues didn't even exist in the culture, it's absolutely gone insane. And so how would you address these difficult issues of the day in a way that would not, it's a crazy time. So how would you do it as a mom?
Yeah. Well, I just want to tell you moms, it's not an easy time. And like our society today is changing by the second. And with all we've faced through the quarantine and through the COVID virus, it's a crazy time. But I just want to encourage you, and I would tell them that the Word of God is timeless. And, you know, when the New Testament was written, it was at a time in culture where the Roman Empire was going very strongly, and it was really a crazy time.
Yeah.
And I think at that time it was even, in some ways, worse than it is now.
Yeah, pedophilia was normalized. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah, yeah, those Italians, you know. Anyway, so.
Hey, but baby, that's not good.
That was not a good one. I'm sorry.
Everything comes to your head. You don't want to let that out.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Just mention. Go ahead.
Okay, anyway, I'm sorry. But anyway, so at that time, you know, the New Testament was written. So the Bible is a timeless book, and the culture is, you know, has tried to persuade people to say that it's irrelevant and it's old-fashioned and it's outdated, but it's not. The God of the creator of the universe, he created us, and he has a blueprint for our life and for our children's life. He did not leave us alone. He left us his word, and he left us the Holy Spirit. And so I would dig into this book and find out what it says about you as a woman, it says about you as a mother, what it says about your children, because there is true wisdom in here, and it always answers all of our questions. And, you know, I go to even thinking about Deborah in the Bible and looking at her life, and at the time that She was leading in Israel. She was a judge in Israel, and which was very unusual at the time because women were considered almost like property. And she was, it says she was a prophetess and a judge. So she was judging every day her people. And then in the middle of that, God spoke to her something. But at the time, Israel had been in captivity for about 20 years. Yeah. And the people were beginning to cry out to God and saying, you know, please rescue us. It was a time where it said that the men were even afraid to go out into the fields to work because they were afraid they would be attacked. It said that all trade was shut down, that there was nothing coming in and out of Israel. They were really in an economic shutdown, like a pandemic that we faced right now. And in the middle of that, God told her, and in Judges 5:7, it says that at that time, warriors became fat and sloppy, no fight left in them, which sounds like COVID, doesn't it? and it says, then you, Deborah, rose up. You got up, a mother and a protector in Israel. And so it said there that she rose up. In another translation, it says that she woke up, that God woke her up to what her purpose was. And as a woman of God, your purpose and as a mother is to nurture and to call forth things out of people and out of your children that other people don't see. And so she called the prince of that nation and she said, Barak, I want you to get 10,000 warriors and I want you to go out and fight this battle. And God said that he will be with us and we will win it and we will come out of captivity. And in the middle of that, he was afraid and he said, no, I don't want to do this without you. You know, and as Deborah did what God told her to do, she didn't look at him like a lot of people would and say, you know, you fat, lazy warrior, do what God told you to do. She didn't do that. She looked at him and she said, I will go with you. I will go with you, but I want to tell you that the honor of this will not come to you. It will come to a woman. But she lent her strength. She lent her nurture. She lent her what she declared over the nation. She lent that strength to him. And that's what a mother does. A mother lends her strength. She lends her her words to her children. I would really encourage you as a mom to declare the word of God over your kids. Find out what it says. There's so many scriptures. Because I think in this world today that is really the culture's trying to shrink our kids into living in fear and living in a small world. And that's not what God said. He wants our tents to be big, he said. Yeah. He wants them to dream dreams. He wants them to fulfill their purpose. And so I feel like that there are mothers and there are women that really are in this day and age awakening and speaking and declaring and praying over their children and over this nation that this will change. Just like Deborah woke up and she said, enough is enough. Enough is enough now in this time, in this age. Our children will live their lives largely. Amen?
Amen.
And I just absolutely believe that. And so that's what I would say to them.
Well, the part that you often say to me when we just talk, just the two of us, is how the culture has demeaned women even in the name of feminism. Now, I'm not talking about equal pay for equal work and all the obvious things. But that being a nurturer is diminished today. But when you actually understand that male and female together are the full image of God, not one better than the other, but you need both. So we live in a culture today that literally says that there is no gender, yeah, or you can pick one. And I don't mean that to be funny. I'm just saying it is so broken and our kids are being raised where I'm not certain that in the next 5 years in the culture, gender reveals will be off limits because, you know, of course, your child should choose when they're whatever age.
I mean, I know they're making a Mattel Barbie doll right now that is genderless.
Yes. Yeah, it's just...
It's just so sad.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you can't make up that kind of deception and brokenness. And I certainly don't mean that in any way derogatorily. But God made women to nurture, and it is a strength. It is absolutely a strength. And the deliverance of a nation was born...
Yes.
...on the nurturing of the strength of a woman.
Yes.
And that crazy bird you were telling me, we said, I got to tell the bird story. To tell the bird story, because... That illustrates to you.
Well,
I love that story.
Well, birds are crazy. And we have this, every year we have this bird. I don't know if it's the same bird.
It's the same one. I could see its eyes.
But we had, and always wants to make a nest on our ceiling fan on our back porch. And so the first year that the bird did this, I thought, oh, it's so sweet, and we're going to let the baby
hatch. I didn't think it was
sweet,
ever. No, no. You thought.
And so I let the bird, you know, hatch the eggs, and I would not let John touch it. But in the process of that, the bird pooped all over our porch, and it took us hours to scrub it down and get it off.
Took me hours. But we'll leave it.
So
I'm bitter.
Yeah, yeah. So the next year, John's like, this bird isn't going to do this, because it came back again and started making a nest. And so you put fishing wire
all around.
You know, and the bird flew through the fishing wire and went in and started doing it again. So he would blow it down and the bird would come back. He'd blow it down, the bird would come back. So finally we had to start turning our ceiling fan on. And like this year, it came back again and we've ran
But we thought the fan wasn't working. So I tried the other.
Yeah.
I have a confession to make. I went to Walmart and got a pellet gun. And I said, bird, I've given you every opportunity to live, but I can't prepare you to meet Jesus, but I can send you to him.
So, yeah. So he was more like Elmer Fudd, I'd say, than anyway. But he never did kill the bird.
No,
yeah. But, you know, that bird is fierce.
We got the fan to work just so I never killed the bird. Don't write me any emails. Okay. And if you do, send them to Steve Moore. It was his idea. So.
And the ceiling fan's been running for 3 weeks. And we turned it off the other day. And
it came
back again. So this bird is fierce. This bird is relentless. It found the safest place. She found the safest place to make that nest to hatch her eggs. And that's what God puts in the heart of a mom. We're not these passive little meek women that the world, you know, makes motherhood to look like. We are fierce. The Bible talks about the feminine version of God, of God being like a mama bear or like a lioness. You know, when a mama bear protects her cubs, everybody runs. We are fierce. That is a part of nurture that we have. And we are here to protect those babies, protect our children, even when they're grown. We're still praying over them. We're still believing over them. And so don't let the culture tell you that that is to be despised. It's to be celebrated. God called you to be an answer as a woman. The first problem that ever happened was when God looked at man and said that it is not good that man should be alone.
And you were the solution.
Yeah, and you know what? It probably is. Could you imagine if men ran this world without women? I mean, we'd live in probably tents and have cots.
And there'd be no color. One color.
Yeah, but so
Chartreuse would not exist. That's a fact.
Anyway, but so, you know, you are an answer to a problem. God looked at man and said, it's not good that man should be alone. And he added, and he pulled woman out of the man. And so you are an answer. And so celebrate that.
Yes. And try never to, I hear people say this often in our culture today, I'm just a mom.
Yeah.
That's like saying, I'm just a billionaire. It is the most significant thing that you will ever do in your life. And when you're younger, you don't understand that. You think other nonsense around you is more important. But when your kids are grown and you're older and you look back, you'll realize there was nothing that ever came close to the honor and the privilege of being parents.
Yeah.
And nothing that will matter more to you. And so don't let this world diminish you as a mom or as a dad. And you know, Michelle, as that tenacity in you was strong in our home. And one of the things I noticed that Michelle did all the time is that she made it very clear to our kids that spiritual matters were not going to be sidelined. And so she was very intentional. Even when it came to children's camp, youth camps, she said, you're going. And we made the plan and they went every year because those were incredible moments in our kids' lives. In fact, that's how you really came to know the Lord was in a camp.
We really do an incredible job here. All the people that lead children's camps and do youth conferences and camps.
Yeah, they're remarkable.
It's where my children heard the voice of God for the first time for themselves. I can't encourage you enough to get your kids there.
And, you know, even in our summer vacation, our kids were, I think, maybe almost out of high school, is she made a plan to go to Alabama. So we could go there. So that was, you know, not a destination for a vacation, but to stop at this and spend 3 days at this youth conference. So she was very intentional. So let me just, if I could pivot just for a second and make you, all of you aware as parents of opportunities that exist for your children right now. And if begging would get you to invest in this, then we'd beg. Please, please, please don't make matters that won't matter in a decade. Run your life today. And so we have our kids camp that's here at Victory, Victory Kids Summer Camp. It's kindergarten through fourth grade, June 14th through 17th. It's here at the church. Please go on the website, find out, get your kids there. Then the Encounter Conference, which is going to be incredible, is middle school, high school students, June 23rd through 25th here at the church. Now, last year, we had Joe Windham speak.
No, 2 years ago.
Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's right. Last year was the crazy COVID thing, Mother's Day. So 2 years ago, Joe Windham spoke here. Jill's coming to speak with her husband, Rob.
They're
remarkable
with young people.
Yes. Angie Madden's going to be speaking.
She is too.
Of course, Ben and Alyssa, who
yes.
oversee those ministries.
So
this is going to be a remarkable conference. So please invest in your kids' lives and get them there. And then lastly, this is not going to sound like a gift to women, but it really is. The Man Up Conference is coming. And there is no greater gift that can be given to a wife or to a mother than a husband who's growing spiritually. So I want to encourage you men, as a gift to your wife, even if it's not in your wheelhouse to do these kind of things, put it in there and go to the Man Up Conference here at Victory. Bring your teenagers, your teenage sons. Bring other people's sons with you. Bring sons that don't have dads. And so I want to just take a minute and let all of you see the promo for the upcoming Man Up Conference, because these are really important things that will add great value to your family and to your spiritual life. Take a look.
In America, there's a problem. There are nearly 20 million children in America growing up without a dad in their home.
Man, these issues are real. We need to be about solutions, not just talking about the problem.
It's cool to be a Christian and be an athlete.
Right.
Go ahead and be the best athlete that you can possibly be and see if you can be a better Christian.
It's an environment where men can talk honestly and openly.
Man Up is calling men out to love God, love their wives, love their kids, and reach out to the kids in their community and in their city that do not have a father or has a father who's disengaged.
And I hope you make it a priority to all of these things for your family.
Yes.
And so let me get back to let me start, Michelle, with something that you're even uncomfortable with the question because it's something positive about you. But I want to ask you this because it's important. If you were to give one thing that you did well as a mom, as a parent, what would you say that one thing would be that you feel like, you know what, looking back, I wasn't perfect at it, but I feel like I really did that well. What would you say?
Okay. Well, I just want to qualify, I didn't do this perfectly, but the one thing I do feel like that I did effectively was that I integrated our spiritual lives with our natural lives constantly, and I made it normal for my kids to realize that, to put God in the everyday moments of your life. So no matter what my kids were facing, even when the time they were really small, I would always talk about, well, this is what God's word says about this. Or when they got older, I would say, well, what do you think about this? And what do you think God's perspective is on this? When they would be facing things with their friends at school, whatever. I always tried to implement putting the spiritual things in the natural world so that it would be common for them and it would be normal.
And it was conversational.
Yes.
It wasn't like a Bible study.
We didn't do well at devotionals.
No, we didn't do devotions well at our house. It didn't seem to work. You see, we were a pastor. It didn't work. And so, but we did find everyday conversations.
Yes.
And Michelle, you constantly did that. Something Alexa, a few things she was talking to me about, and the one that I thought was so precious is when she was little, and any time she would get hurt, and she was our one that was always bumping into stuff, Michelle would take her up in her arms, even when she was just a baby and didn't even know what the words would have meant, and she would sing the hymn, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. And it was so precious to hear her sing that over her. And she did that really throughout her whole life. And it was just her special thing that she did with Alexa. And it was so interesting to me. A few years ago, Alexa, you know, as a young adult, was going through a tough time. And Michelle, it was just hard, a hard day. It was a hard season for her. And I heard Alexa say, Mom, sing that over me again. And as a 20-some-year-old kid, her mom singing that hymn over her life, it's that these things matter. And to hear the name of Jesus, it's like out of everything going on, it's like, just sing that over me. There are things that you do that make such an incredible impact. But the fact of it is that you live these things out the best you could in front of our kids. Your prayer life, you brought them into your struggle. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, life isn't perfect, amen, and there's going to be times where there's storms. And I think we do our kids a disservice when we don't let them see the ugliness of life sometimes in our own lives. Not that we want to overwhelm them. I mean, there's a balance, obviously, but I always try to take my kids into the struggle and tell them, you know what, this is what we're facing as a family, but God's word is greater, and we're going to stand on the word of God here, and we're going to, you know, believe it and pray it over our lives, and we're going to see God move. And that was something that they told me later that really meant a lot to them, that they said, Mom, you never made it look like that life was always easy, but you always showed us that God was always there in the middle of it, and he would get us through it, not even through it all the time, but victorious in it. So I just, you know, want to encourage you that don't try to make it so perfect for your kids all the time. I think that's one of the problems maybe in this next generation, that we're afraid to see our kids struggle or to make it so easy on them. You know, there's a lot born out of hardship sometimes. Yeah. And so, not that, you know, obviously there's a balance, and you want to tell your kids, you know, put worry on them. But right. I'm just saying, I would bring God into our struggles and show them how to navigate that.
So. You know, as a parent, we're called to build a foundation, because they have to choose to build their life. And by the way, we don't get to make those choices for them. And so, Michelle, that's something I believe you did really well, is that you've just built the right foundation. Now, they have to choose as adults what they're going to do with that foundation before God. But there's a scripture that I know means a lot to you about that. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, Proverbs 14:1 says that the wise woman builds her house. And when I would read that when I was younger, I always would wonder, what does that really look like? I don't really understand it. And I could never really get clarity on that until I saw this translation one time. And it says, the wise woman builds her house on a foundation of godly principles, and her household thrives. But a foolish one who lacks spiritual insight tears it down with her own hands by ignoring godly principles. And so, you know what? It's not about being perfect, because that doesn't exist. It's about being purposeful. And I always tell moms, try to be a perfect mom, be a purposeful mom. And that means, you know, bringing God into your everyday life, into all the moments, and especially the ugly moments. Yeah. Sometimes we feel like if we haven't done everything perfectly, we can't bring God into those moments. No, that's when we need to bring God into those moments. It says in our weakness is when he is the strongest. Amen? Yes. So I'm going to encourage you with that.
And so let me just pivot just for a sec, because you've had some embarrassing moments as a mom as well. And so we all have as parents.
Oh, yeah, a lot
and
of
so,
them.
And so I've provided a few myself and as your husband, but that's okay because you love me. But tell everybody just maybe one that sticks out for you, something that one of the kids did that was like, oh no.
Well, again, our youngest daughter, Alexa, she was always the one that was really active and walked early and crawled up everything and jumped on everything. And so she was the one that would get hurt a lot. And when she was 3 years old, was it? Okay. Yeah, she jumped from the coffee table to the couch in our basement. And when she did, she slipped in her mouth hit the bar on the couch, and it knocked out her four front teeth. Really, it didn't knock them out. They were just dangling, and there was blood everywhere. And it was like 8 o'clock at night, and we had to go to our pediatric dentist, and he had to pull her teeth. And so he made her a partial that she could stick in. You know, it was like a denture for those four teeth so that she could talk and learn to speak correctly. And then when she was about 5, she grew out of it, and so she didn't have those four teeth until she got her permanent teeth. But she had grown out of the partial, and so there was a show and tell that one day at school, and so she didn't tell me about it. And so when she came home, she was like, Mom, I had the best show and tell of everybody in the class. Everybody loved my show and tell, what I brought. And I said, well, what did you bring? And she said, I brought my denture to school. And then when I saw the teacher the next time, she said, Alexa had a really interesting show and tell. I was like, oh my gosh, that was embarrassing.
So, you know, one of the things Alexa said to me that I think is just so precious, and these are the things I want you to help you all understand, that they log into your kids' hearts, not even sometimes into their heads. And I said, honey, a couple of things you would say about mom, what would you say to me? She said, Dad, mom taught us how to treat people well who were in need. And she, because throughout the years they've seen you constantly giving to people and giving things away. But we were at a Goodwill, and the kids were all very little. And we were probably there just buying some stuff that you could get cheap. And I don't like the shop, but I went with her that day because I'm such a great husband and sat in the car.
Yeah,
and,
you always sit in the car.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, someone has to watch the car.
Yeah. And so he won't even go into the mall.
Yeah, sometimes if the food court's open, I will. And so, so anyway, Alexa comes out of the Goodwill store and she comes in the car to hang out because Michelle could shop in a 7-Eleven for an hour. But that's did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. And so, so Michelle comes back to the car and she said, "Hey, grab the checkbook and write a check for $100 cash." And I thought, "Well, they take your card." She goes, "No, no." She goes, "There's a young mom in there with a couple kids, and you could just you could tell she's struggling so deeply, and I want to help her." I said, "Well, sure, I'd grab the checkbook and send it." And at that time, we really didn't have any extra money. But when she went in, Alexa told me, she said, "Dad, I wondered why is she giving stuff to other people's kids." And she said, "But as I got older, I realized she taught us to look at everybody as the same, and realize that people that had needs that were different than yours, you serve those needs." And then the other thing she said to me, which is actually, when she said it to me, it caught me off guard. It actually made me cry. She said, she taught us how to see people that were unseen to others. And she said, when I was in school, and Alexa was our social kid, you know, that just, like, you would have gotten, like, an A-plus in just her social life and skills. But she said, growing up, when there was always kids in the class that were left out, and mom would go play, when she would come in, she would notice those kids, and she would say, "Alexa, I want you to invite a little girl to a play date." And she said, and she would ask us to, she would ask me to include them. She said, "Where does she sit at lunch?" And, "Oh, I don't know. We'll find out." And, "Well, mom, she sits alone." "Then you put her at your table. You invite her, and you include her with your friends." And she said, she taught us how to see what other people saw is unseen, because that's what God does. And there are no unseen people to him. And it was just such a blessing to see that.
I just think that kindness and compassion is something that can be lost in this culture. And you really need to train your kids to see those unseen kids. It's important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in our house, I was like, you know, when kids, and when they're little, when some of the kids would be left out of birthday parties when the class would all be invited, I'd say, "No, that does not exist here in this house. We will invite everyone."
She said it a lot stronger than that. But
anyway, it just teaching your kids compassion. Yeah. So important. So important.
But, everyone struggles. Yeah. Moms right now could be struggling here in the room, and certainly are at our campuses. It's just part of life. But what would you say today, if you had to succinctly say something to a struggling mom, what would you tell her? Because we all have struggle, but I mean, like, right, it's just overwhelming. What would you say to them?
Well, I would say to a struggling mom,
yes,
that you are not alone, that God is with you, and that he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. And also, I would say that the Holy Spirit is with you, and he is your comforter, he is your teacher, he is your counselor. Please, please reach out and cry out to God and ask him to help you in this process, and he will, because he gives grace. Grace is the ability to do what you can't do on your own, and we sure can't do mom life in our own strength, but God gives us that grace. He is so faithful to give us that grace.
And what would you say to yourself if you could go back?
Oh, that's a. There's so many things I did wrong as a mom. So many things. I look at moms that, you know, get dressed and they're out the door with their babies and their toddlers, and I think, wow, this is amazing. I couldn't get out of my pajamas half the time when I had all three of them at home by themselves. I struggled a lot as a mom.
Show the picture of our family when you were about 30 in this picture.
Well, no, I was like 33 in that picture, and that was the first time we ever got a picture made with all of us together. with, which is sad. That's why we have photo booths out here for moms. Yeah. Please take a picture with your kids. Get that picture. Don't leave without it, because we didn't do that.
We tried.
Yeah, we tried.
But our son had special needs, and we couldn't get through the thing.
Yeah, but that was just with even them. We never got it one with it us just... until. But I wish, when I look at that 33-year-old woman right there, I wish she knew some things that I know now. And I, at the time, I didn't realize that there was seasons of life, and that season right there was one of the toughest seasons, but it would end so quickly that those babies will leave. They grow up, and they grow up so fast. And one day, you think that when you're in that season when they're little, that busyness will always be there. And one day, it just stops, and you don't have the busyness like that anymore. Oh, I'd go back if I could. So, I'd go back, and I'd tell her to slow down. And I want to encourage you, moms, to take care of yourself. I didn't take care of myself like I should have. I didn't do self-care. Even if it's a walk in the neighborhood, even if it's just soaking in a bathtub and letting your husband put the movie on for the kids, take care of
yourself. Notice she didn't say watch them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
when John would watch the kids, he would let them roam all over the house, and they'd draw out all their clothes in their drawers. And
I said, your mother cares, I don't. If you're happy.
Yeah.
So don't tell me what you want. Just don't break anything. I love you, though.
Yeah, but I would say to that woman there that quit trying to make everything perfect. Quit trying to make your house perfect, everything look perfect, because it doesn't exist. Slow down. Yeah. Sit down with your babies. Play with them more. Laugh with them more. Just enjoy the moments in life, and quit trying to control the future. Because I would worry so much about the future with them, and it was so crazy, because God has them. He has your children. Believe that. Believe that He has that purpose and that plan for them. And as you believe God and you speak over their lives, it will come to pass. And so, you know, today with social media, I give you moms credit. It would be so hard, because, you know, as a tendency, as a woman, you compare yourself, which is such a trap. And God dealt with me one time, and He said, you know what? Comparison is a form of jealousy. And jealousy is a sin. Quit comparing yourself, thinking that someone has it better than you. Do not compare yourself. And so, you know, you on social media, you only see the highlights. All these influencers that show the perfect picture with their toddlers while they're redoing their house and remodeling and all this stuff. It's crazy.
And parachuting and everything else they do. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's such a lie.
Yeah, we all know Instagram, Facebook people, things they show, it's not true. Everybody knows that, right? It's not. Nobody's that perfect, and nothing looks that good, because after the picture, you know somebody's getting screamed at, but that's just another story.
So, you know, but just that to drop the trying to make everything perfect. Because perfection doesn't exist. And your kids won't remember that anyway. All they'll remember are those moments when you sat down with them and you played with them and you took the time to be present in the moment. I remember one day I was driving Ryan to school in the fifth grade. And I was driving him to school, and I looked at him and said, Ryan, did I drop you off at school yet? He's like, Mom, you're looking at me. And he's never let me forget that. That's not living in the moment. So, you know, just live in the moments and enjoy them. Enjoy them.
You know, as we wind down today, all of us face things that can be insurmountable.
Yes.
And we want every parent, every mom, every person to leave here today with a hope. Because control really is an illusion.
Yes.
It doesn't exist. And the fact of it is that trusting God is what we do in the midst of everything.
And you know, and why don't you share, you know, what your mom did when you looked at her the time?
Well, one of the things that I did with my mom as a kid is that when I was a teenager... Actually, I was out of high school and college. I said to her, don't ever mention the name of Jesus to me again. I don't want to hear that. Leave me alone. Keep your religious stuff. And of course, I'm sure it hurt her deeply. But she completely ignored it and kept standing and believing God over my life. And Michelle's mom did the same for her.
Yeah, she was a single mom. And, you know, she was left with no money and with three kids and no education. She had to work two jobs sometimes, but the thing that she did is she left that legacy. Like Timothy, it talks about in 1 Timothy 1:5, it says, Paul was saying to Timothy, I want you to impart the same kind of faith that was imparted to you by your mom and by your grandmother. God wants us to leave a legacy with our kids, and it's leaving that impartation of God, putting that into them, into the next generation that will last generations after them.
Yes.
And so that's what our moms did. They stood in the middle of craziness, in the middle of dysfunction. They stood and they left and they put that legacy in us. And we pray that that will be sustained in our children. And so it doesn't have to be perfect. It will never be perfect is what I'm trying to say. And sometimes we get the illusion, well, I'll do this when life feels perfect and when I don't feel out of control and when I didn't miss it and scream at my kids 10 minutes ago. We all do that. So live your life on purpose and impart to them the things of God. I can't encourage you enough.
You know, as we finish today, I want to encourage every person to know that the first thing that you must know is that you're not alone in this life.
Yes.
Because most people live their whole life even afraid to die because they don't know what's going to happen afterwards. And I want to make certain here at all of our campuses that if today was your final day on this earth, that you wouldn't die in fear, that you could know that you would spend eternity with the God that loves you unimaginably. And I want to give you an opportunity, every person here, all of our campuses, online, under the sound of my voice, to give your life to the one who gave his life for you. Would you bow your heads with me? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you the opportunity to pray with me, to invite Christ into your heart. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you would say to me, you know, Pastor John, if I were to draw my final breath on planet Earth today, I don't know where I'd spend my forever. Jesus died to pay the sin debt that none of us could pay. He died on a cross and suffered in my place, in your place. He gave himself on a cross, the sinless, spotless Son of God, to bear my shame, my sin penalty. He died, rose from the dead, and affords you the opportunity to receive the free gift of eternal life. Do you believe that Christ Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on that cross so the wrath of God that was due me fell to him as an act of mercy and love? That he died and was buried and he conquered death and rose from the grave. And he offers to any human being the ability to receive him into their life. And he said, I turn no one away. When Christ comes into your life, not church, not religion, not church sacraments, Jesus. He said, I'll make you brand new. Your sin debt will be canceled. When you leave this earth, you can know that you'll have eternity with the Father because of the free gift that was given to you. That cost him his life. So with every head bowed and eye closed here at Cranberry and Meadville and Vernon Township and Newcastle, wherever you are, even those online, if you've never given your life to Christ or you're not sure, I want to give you that opportunity to pray together. In fact, we're all going to pray a prayer out loud and together with you in a moment if you desire to receive Christ into your life. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you would say, please include me in that prayer. I don't know that I've ever made Christ the Lord of my life, or I know I haven't, and I want to receive Christ into my life to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Right where you're at, in all of our campuses, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just simply acknowledge it through an uplifted hand, and then we're going to pray together with all of you. Do it right now. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. One last moment. As you can see, you're not going to be singled out or embarrassed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You would say, Pastor, would you please include me as well? Very quickly, if you've not yet raised your hand, do it right now, and we'll pray for you as well. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Thank you. Thank you. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. It's not some dead religious prayer. You're inviting a living Christ into your broken life, and he turns no one away. So if you desire to receive Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, please pray this out loud. And we're going to pray it together with you. And Jesus will come into your life, make you brand new. Your sin debt will be canceled. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, you sing, just pray this out loud together with all of us as you receive Christ into your life. Now pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Now pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I come to you by Jesus.
I come to you by Jesus.
I have sinned.
I have sinned.
I cannot save myself.
I cannot save myself.
Jesus, I thank you.
Jesus, I thank you.
For coming.
For coming.
Born of a virgin.
Born of a virgin.
A sinless life.
A sinless life.
You were all God and all man.
You were all God and all man.
And you hung on a cross.
You hung on a cross. cross.
And you died for me.
And you died for me.
The wrath of God.
The wrath of God.
That was due me.
That was due me.
Fell to you.
Fell to you.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying.
I believe you were buried.
I believe you.
And you rose from the dead.
And you rose from the dead.
And you give me eternal life.
And you give me eternal life.
I receive you today into my life.
And I receive you today into my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming.
I am now a child of God.
I am now a child of God.
My sin debt is totally canceled.
My sin debt is totally.
And when I die.
And when I die.
I'm heaven bound.
I am heaven bound.
Because Jesus is the Lord of my life.
Because Jesus is the Lord of my life.
Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you?
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Victory Family Church. If you enjoyed listening, please take a moment to rate, review, and share. For more resources, including locations and service times, please visit lifeatvictory.com.